All right, we switched guests. We have gone from one extreme to the other. We have gone from a sugar high to a sobering... Hello, my name is Patrick Doyle. Patrick Doyle's in the house, local area counselor, and Veritas. T-A-S.
T-A-S, Veritas.
Veritas counseling. Why didn't you just go with Patrick Doyle counseling? That's what you're known for.
Because, you know.
That's what happens when you try to be a marketer yourself.
I have to have, everybody can't see me.
Well, that's true. Well, you can have a Patrick Doyle associate.
Yeah, they don't want to schedule appointments with the associate.
Though. All right, Patrick Doyle's with us, and he heads up Veritas Counseling, and
that's right.
The number is?
622-6018.
Okay, I have not memorized that one yet.
Yeah, you'll get your chance.
But if you want a cell number, you call me. I'll give it to you.
And I'm sure he will. And I'll be glad to answer the phone.
622-6018, Veritas Counseling, corner of, West Main.
No,
East Main.
East Jackson.
East Jackson and Crater Lake.
839 East Jackson and Crater Lake, right on the corner.
Somewhere in there.
There's some signage. You'll see it.
All right. Hey, well, welcome. And we want to talk about a topic that is the poison to the soul.
Oh, man. It is killing some things.
All right. Gossip.
Gossip.
Is there such thing as Christian gossip? Or Christian...
Unfortunately, I think there is.
No, I think it's Christians that gossip.
Well, yeah, Christians that gossip kill the church.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. It is a deadly force. In fact, I wanted to read a couple of scriptures because the scripture has quite a bit to say about it.
Hmm.
So if you read Romans 1, it says in Romans 1:29, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips. If that's the scripture that Paul's talking about, Rashi says he gave them over to a depraved mind, and these are the things they did.
Hmm.
Gossip is listed in the same sentence, right in this next sentence after murder. It's very, very destructive. And there's many scriptures. Proverbs is clear to talk about how destructive gossip is. If we participate in gossip, we are participating in killing the body of Christ. Now, every single person, I believe, at some point or another is guilty of this. So let's just get that right out there. None of us are perfect. None of us have never said something we shouldn't have. We've all said it.
Yeah, we've all blown it.
We've all blown it. Mm-hmm. So let's be honest about that instead of saying, well, I never gossip. Well, instead of avoiding it, let's face it and let's confess our gossip. If you're gossiping about somebody, you're talking about them without them knowing it and you're saying negative, unhealthy, slanderous things, stop talking about other people. It kills the body. We are to build each other up, according to the scripture, to build the church up. And I'm telling you, as somebody who gets privy to a lot of inside information and a lot of situations, gossip is a part of destroying every church I've been a part of where I've seen the church be destroyed. It's a part of destroying relationships. Proverbs is really clear to teach us. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends.
Hmm.
In Proverbs 6, God says, there are six things I hate, seven I abhor. One of them is a brother who stirs up dissension.
Right.
The other is a lying tongue.
Right.
These things are definitely on God's list of I don't like it because it hurts people. So if you're talking about somebody out of turn, you need to repent. Don't cover it up. Don't say, don't use denial. Well, it really doesn't matter. No one knows. You need to deal with the sin of gossip in your own heart because here's the deal. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. So gossip is really a heart issue.
I'm processing this.
Okay.
You can tell.
Yes.
Because where's the line between gossip and legitimate information?
Mm. Well, if it's legitimate, it can involve the person you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't have to exclude them.
All the time, I get asked the question, "What do you think of so and so?"
Right.
What am I to do with that?
Yeah. Well, you can say, "Well, I don't really, it's not my, I'm not accustomed to talking about other people without them being present. Because what happens is, see, you have
How do you get a job reference for somebody?
Well, that's different because you're not telling them, unless you have specific information that's documented that happened, that the person knows about, it's not something that's made up, it's actual fact, that's documentable, verifiable, that's telling the truth. That's different than gossip. Gossip is not the truth. It's opinion, it's exaggeration, it's personal perspective. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth. So I serve as a role for many people as a confidential, safe place for them to say all kinds of things. With me, the buck stops. I don't tell anybody. I don't talk to anybody. It doesn't leave my room. Okay? So all of us need a confidential, safe place to talk about stuff and get perspective. We all need that. What we don't do is take that to 8 or 3 or 4 or 7 people and say, well, blah, 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 blah. And did you hear about what so-and-so? And did you see what so-and-such and such? And oh, you know, or we, the other thing I've seen in church that drives me insane, I'm telling you just as honest as I can be, this subject chaps me because I see how much damage it does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I'm concerned about so-and-so. How are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a pastor that gave a sermon about gossip, and he tells a story in gossip about it. He says, there's this guy in his congregation. He says, this guy was always coming up to me every week saying, hey, pastor, how you doing? Good to see you. Hey, how's so-and-so? How they doing? And the pastor kept getting the feeling that the guy was like pumping him for information, and he didn't really know what to do about it. So he went to his elders, and he said, you know, I'm not quite sure
what's
going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, if you feel that way, the scripture says that we're to avoid a gossip. That's what we're to do with them. So his elder said, well, just avoid them. And, you know, for a pastor, that's a pretty
hard thing to do.
Yeah, that's a pretty hard thing to do. So
yeah.
He had the approval of his elder, so he said, you know what, I think I could probably do that. Because it was making him very uncomfortable. So he started avoiding the guy. The guy would come up and talk to him. He wouldn't say anything to him. The guy would, you know, he just was very clearly avoiding him. So after a couple of weeks, the guy said, pastor, I need to talk to you. Okay. He says, are you avoiding me? Pastor said, yep, I am avoiding you. Absolutely. Well, why are you avoiding me? Well, because I feel like you've been pumping me information and you've been spreading gossip about people. And I'm like, there you go. Finally, we get to the issue. Somebody had the guts to confront it. And actually, he was supported by his leadership. And this is where I see in churches things go absolutely haywire. Because you have people in leadership who are immature spiritually, and they talk about each other back and forth. Back
all right,
and
when
forth.
A church is being ripped apart through gossip, and you've lived through them, I've lived through them.
Mm-hmm.
One of my pastors, he's still a very dear friend of mine. The uh-huh. way he solved it one time, he said, where'd you get that information?
Exactly.
And he said, well, from so-and-so. He called that person. Uh-huh. Did you tell this person that?
Uh-huh.
Where'd you get it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a series of phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And he told it from the pulpit, if mm-hmm. I catch you gossiping, mm-hmm. I'm going to start making phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I'm telling you, that place dried up pretty fast. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But
that's leadership.
That's leadership.
Dealing with it.
Yeah. Now, if a church finds itself through a series of circumstances in a ripped form,
uh-huh.
what do you do?
Well,
when the church is pretty much on one side or the other, what do you do? How do you heal that?
Well, the way you heal it is that the leadership has to be in agreement. And this is where I've seen churches get into a lot of trouble, is there's splits in the leadership. So gossip enters the leadership circle, and then there's a side. Okay? Well, so-and-so said such-and-such. Well, so-and-so said such-and-such. We have no evidence about what was really said. It's his word versus their word versus their word. And then the church starts to pick sides, and then, well, we're on the side of this elder, and, well, we're on the side of that elder, or we're on the side of the pastor, and the pastor's on the side of this. And so all that stuff starts spinning. Leadership has to be in absolute agreement. They have to wrestle to agreement.
But if the leader himself is under attack, how do you help this poor guy to recover?
Well, that's just it. And if without good leadership, without good eldership, I don't know that it's possible. Without mature eldership, and this is what I've seen over and over again. Pastors try to deal with the situation. Elders are immature. And again, not all. I'm just saying a lot of the situations I've seen. This is how it goes south. Elders are immature spiritually. They're good business people, maybe, but they're immature spiritually. They buy into the gossip. They don't stand up and take the side of the pastor who's trying to confront the gossip. So now you have an instant divide. The difference is for a pastor, look, if I'm like a dentist or a contractor or something, if I am in a quarrel with someone, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lose my job. The pastor has his livelihood on the table.
Right.
And this is a big deal. And this is what I've seen really, you know, wear guys out. Guys who just absolutely walk away from the ministry because they're like, there's no way I can do that again. I can't take that anymore.
Yeah, I think what happens when the gossip gets so intense that there is a divide. I mean, usually by the time it gets to the crisis points, mm-hmm. it's pretty bad. And
yes.
And the recovery is very difficult because everybody's defending their position.
Right.
I've mediated two church issues in my day.
Yeah.
Actually three, but two that I have found out the hard way. If you're asked to mediate a problem like that,
yeah.
it will cost you your relationships.
Yeah. If you have relationships within that body,
you're probably. Done. So mm-hmm. you go in with the understanding, A, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of the body and the mm-hmm. sake of the people, and certainly mm-hmm. the sake of the pastor, you're going to mm-hmm. try to do your best to heal it. But it's going to cost you to leave because you know about these people and they mm-hmm. don't want you around because you know them.
Right. Exactly. You know, I was thinking of another scripture, Proverbs 26:20, that says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down.
There you go.
So if you have consistent quarreling, you know you probably have a problem with gossip. The other thing is that from my training in counseling, and one of the ways we look at the world from a counseling perspective is something called family systems. You look at family systems as a way to help people work through the problems. And one of the things that I've always loved about that way of looking at things is one of the things that they say in family systems is when you look at a family system, you look at the constant players. And the constant players, you will usually find the problem. Because if there's a consistent pattern of problems, what you look to do is find the consistent players. When you find the consistent players, you find the source of the consistent problem. And I think this is real true, and it goes to what the scripture's saying here. The scripture's actually was there long before that. You know, without gossip, a quarrel dies down. So, y'all know about busybodies. We've all seen them. We've all been around them. We've all known people who just can't talk about anything but somebody else, and they're always in somebody else's business. And last night, I got to tell you this. I did a Google search on gossip last night.
Would you get 6,000 pages?
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was on page, like, I was on the 14th or 15th page, and I had found only two articles on gossip. All the rest were invitations to go to gossip websites. Celebrity gossip, New York gossip, this gossip, that. It's all over the place.
That's how the game of politics is played. It's called the Whisper Campaign.
Exactly. And so what I was starting to realize is that, man, you know, you look at TV and all of these, we are glorifying gossip. I mean, mm-hmm. Hollywood, I mean, there are entire industries built on gossip. You know, the news mags that follow these people around, the paparazzi, it's all about gossip. It's all about gossip. And I'm thinking, here's a nation that is consumed with gossip.
Yeah, and they're destroying people.
It is.
I think, you know, Britney Spears, I just feel sorry for her.
Yeah.
I mean, look what's happening to her. Look what happened to Diana.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle that?
Yeah. Well, you get back to what the scripture says. First of all, you confront gossip. If it's in your circle of influence, first of all, if somebody comes to you and they start talking gossip, you stop them in their tracks. And you say, look, I don't want to hear anything about so-and-so. Unless you go get them and bring them and talk to me with them here, I really don't want to hear it. I don't want to participate in gossip. I don't want to do that. Gossip continues because people listen. If we stop it and say, no, I don't want to hear that, I'd rather err on the side of offending my friend and not listening to that stuff, but rather than taking it in and letting it continue. And so, you know, as believers who are supposed to love one another and encourage each other unto good works, we can't be destroying each other through slander and gossip. And it is happening.
Well, it's become an American lifestyle.
It is.
Because we're destroying people on something they did you know, a long time
right.
ago, or they perceive that they did, and
right.
I don't know. It's become a media frenzy.
It is amazing. We have a culture that's gossip centered. The pop culture today is gossip centered. You know, when I was looking on the websites last night, I was dumbfounded.
Well, the struggle I have with this, Patrick, is that where do you go to voice your concerns? Where do you go to if something is in meltdown mode? What do you do?
Right. Well,
I mean, if the person that you're concerned about isn't listening, how do you circle the wagons to help them?
Well, you see, here's the thing. You know, the scripture in terms of sin, if someone's caught in sin, the scripture is clear to tell us what we're to do. If a friend of mine is caught in sin and I go to him and I say, hey, man, I'm concerned about you. I see what you're doing. I don't think it's healthy. I want to walk with you through it. You know, let's talk about that. There's no gossip involved in that. If I then go from that to my friend and say, well, I went and talked to Bill and he was like, he didn't listen to me and he's out doing all that stuff. Man, I can't believe it. I'm really concerned about it. Well, and then this guy takes what I said and he goes to somebody else. Now we get the rumor mill going about so-and-so. Okay. I go to that guy and say, hey, man, I'm concerned. He says, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Then I go get an elder, and I go back to him. And I'm like, say, hey, dude, here we are again. We talk about it. That's restoring somebody who is caught in sin gently, okay? If they refuse it, you don't go talking about them. You talk to God. You ask God, please, God, intervene. You don't go talk to so-and-so about such-and-such. No, you go to God. If we prayed more and talked less, gossip would die down. God doesn't need me to talk to so-and-so about it. Now, there are things that I struggle with, Perry, that I need to talk to other brothers about. And this is how a lot of gossip gets started. Historically, I've been to brothers and said, you know, I'm really struggling with this. Oh, man, yeah. And then they go tell somebody else. And now my confidence is betrayed, and everybody has information on me.
Don't get me going on that one.
I'm giving you a chance here.
No, so, I'm not going to even swing at it.
Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence. Avoid a man who talks too much.
Mm-hmm.
So gossip does betray a confidence. And so we have such a culture of it, Perry. You're right. To find confidentiality in someone else is a rare thing today. I count myself extremely privileged and blessed to have a group of guys that I can do that with. Yeah. I'm the only guy I know that has it.
I will agree with that.
Okay? And that's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy. And one of the reasons why that is exactly what you've said before, which is that I'm tired of being betrayed. How can I go and be honest if someone is going to take the information and ruin me with
it? The church is the only one that circles the wagons and then shoots inward.
And I've seen it. It's true. And what I'm saying is we can't stop or give up because of that. In fact, for us to help the body grow and become healthy again, where confidence can be gained, we have to confront that stuff, not run from it. And so, you know, I'm asking people to sort of, you know, not run, but stand up and say, no, we can't do this. And let me tell you this. You're not going to stand up to the face of gossip unless you have your own intimacy with God to the point that you're confident that he's not going to leave you hanging. And this is what I see happening. People in their own strength try to deal with it. Well, gossip's like a wildfire. You're up against something pretty gnarly. And if somebody is of the kind of character that will gossip about somebody else, well, they're going to gossip about you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't have confidence and an intimacy with God and you know your value and your place in him and he has etched that into your soul, you're probably going to sidestep it. And what I'm saying is because we have a lack of maturity, spiritual maturity, this stuff is running the show. And we as men and women of God must confront it. Look, I've talked about the church a lot. I love the church deeply. I am the church. It starts with me. I have to be honest, and I have to confess my gossip, and I have to stop it in its tracks. If not, then I become part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. You can't do nothing and be part of the solution. The second law of thermodynamics. Simply put, everything goes from order to disorder through the process of heating and thawing. It degenerates through the process of heating and thawing. Most provable physical science, all there is, and by the way, pretty much a nail in the coffin for evolution.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, everything goes from order to disorder naturally, doing nothing means I'm going to be run over by the second law of thermodynamics, which means things are going to get worse. By saying I'm going to do nothing, you are by default saying I'm going to let it get worse. So I want to tell you right up front, you don't have that option if you want to be part of the solution. You can't sit by and do nothing. If you know someone's gossiping, you go to them and say, I don't think that what you're saying is accurate. I think you're spreading gossip. I think you need to go talk to the people you've said that about and repent. And don't talk to me about it. I don't want to know about it. We got to stop it. Otherwise, people are eaten alive emotionally. I can't tell you how many tears I've seen over the years from this kind of thing.
Yeah. It, to me, it's a vicious circle almost, because what takes to stop gossip is usually the thing that starts it. And that's confidentiality.
Well, and I don't think so much that is it. It takes confrontation. And we're a nation afraid of confrontation in terms of personal relationships. People avoid confrontation like the plague. And I believe that's a result of an immature spiritual life. You look at the leaders of the Bible, people that God used, they confronted hand over fist. Not one of them. Look at every prophet God ever used. I mean, all they did was confront the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't mean that because they confronted them that they were going to do the right thing. It wasn't about the outcome. They did it because they loved God, because they wanted to respond to him. They didn't do it because they were going to get some great outcome. Look at Jeremiah. Nobody changed. Yet he wept and wept over these people. Instead of going, yes, man, I can't believe it, you know, which is what I would do. But God in his mercy will give you graciousness. He'll give you strength. Don't be afraid. Fear is not of God. The antidote for fear, according to the scripture, is perfect love. Perfect love has only one source. That is God. There is no other place to get it. You can't go to church enough to get it. You can't read your Bible enough to get it. You can't be successful enough to get it. You can't have successful kids or marriages or other things to get it. It is a gift from God. When God puts his perfect love in you and etches that into your heart, then you become fearless. And you begin to live for an audience of one, which is one of the other problems with gossip, is people are not living for the audience of one. If they were, they'd clap their mouth shut.
Well, the other thing is, I think, what fuels gossip is we think we're actually helping God by getting involved. Marshall Foster says something, and that is, you know, you don't break God's laws break you.
Uh-huh.
So if an individual's in meltdown, and you're going to gossip about it and not go in there and help them,
right?
It's a matter of time that God's law is going to catch up with them, and it's going to take care of itself.
Mm.
Why do you need to get in there and fan that flame?
Right. Well, and like I said, unless you're convicted by God to do it, the scripture says you're to avoid them. What would happen if there was, I mean, every church, I believe, to some degree has a gossip. Every church.
Hmm.
What would happen if the congregation followed the scripture and avoided that person?
Well, they'd go somewhere else.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
But if we were doing that across the board, we would squelch their material because no one would be saying anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there are people that you can identify in your church that, you know, if you tell that person that, everybody's going to know.
Oh, come read my mail.
Yeah. So I am pleading, begging, imploring whatever I can do with leadership of churches that are hearing me. Please stop gossip in its tracks. Be good leaders and get yourselves involved. Don't wait. Look, shepherds are to tend the flock, not wait for the flock to show up at your door, at your office, bleeding.
I think the other thing is this. If you find yourself unsatisfied with a church or church leadership for whatever reason, instead of tearing it down to meet what you think would be your goals, understand that God, everything in your life is seasonal.
Mm.
It may be time for you to leave that one and go to another
one.
Instead of tearing it apart.
And before you tear it apart, express your concerns to the person responsible.
Yeah, and then if you're not satisfied, move on.
Respectfully address your concerns. You know, and I was just reading in James 3 last night about the tongue. Wow. And you know, in that passage, he starts that passage off by saying, do not, you shouldn't want to be teachers because we're held to a stricter judgment. And then he goes right into the tongue. And I never really put it together before, but he's connecting being, having a platform with being careful with your tongue. And I think as people with a platform, it's a good reminder that, that James says your tongue can be a source of life or it can be a source of absolute destruction. And I want you to weigh that. And I want you to think about what you say. If you're talking about somebody else, don't, unless you're talking to them.
Yeah, yeah. And I just think that moving on peacefully is probably an option you ought to consider before you just destroy a lot of innocent people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, God bless you and build the church up. Don't tear it down.
Veritas Counseling.
Veritas Counseling.
622-6018 and corner of East Jackson and Crater Lake Avenue.
And I had Ron started yesterday.
He's here.
He's here. And
you going to bring him by?
He's working. Yeah, I'd like to bring him by maybe next week.
All right.
How about that?
All right, 622-6018, number to your clinic there. Hey,
you
thanks, man.
You bet.